Take your holy book and turn to Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, now in the fifth year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Itrea, and the region of Trachiosis and Licinius, and Trachea of Abilene, Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John and the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Go down to verse 21. He said, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like the dove, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. I want to preach this morning a few minutes, if God will be my help, on a word accepted. A word accepted. As we see this and we see the prophecy here, and we see God's message as it's speaking. Now, he's not speaking to the great leaders of that time, but he was speaking to the common folks. He was speaking to folks, listen, just like you and I, man. That's who John the Baptist was speaking to, was folks just like me and you. And so we see John the Baptist, and he came, praise God, and he was one of the last and the greatest, I believe, of all the prophets, amen, as he come to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see John's ministry, praise God, the prophecy and the ministry that he brought, as it was told of Isaiah chapter number 4, or in verse number 4 here, it says that Isaiah, it was written of Isaiah, praise God, for our hearing. He says it written in the book of prophets, of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. Praise God, he is talking about John the Baptist and his coming, that God had preserved him a heritage in the land, and that he would send John the Baptist, that great prophet who would preach unto the people, praise God. We see the prophecy, and we see the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, would come after, praise God, as they was even kin, they was cousins, and John Baptist was born first, and he would point to the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. Ain't you glad that God thought enough of me, and he thought enough of you, that he would send somebody and take away our sins, praise God, and that one's name was Jesus Christ, the Savior. So we see John Baptist as a great prophet, and we see him as a subject of prophecy. He was that very one that Isaiah prophesied would come, that would be preaching in the wilderness, praise God. And it amazes me how it says that it came to pass into the country. He came into all the country in verse chapter number 3, praise God, that son of Zacharias unto Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So we see John Baptist. He came with a task at hand. He came preaching, and he was preaching repentance and remission of sin, putting away our sins, praise God, asking God to forgive us. What John was preaching was a baptism of repentance. Praise God. He was out there presenting himself as the prophet of God, the one had been proclaimed, the one had been pointed to. Now we see that, and it's important to realize it. John was that prophet that was pointed to because he was going to point to a Savior that was to come. So we see the prophet and we see the ministry. See, John was privileged to be able to come and prepare a nation to receive that Messiah. There was a promised one, anointed one, Lord Jesus Christ, who would come. And John Baptist's job as that prophet and in his ministry was to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, I want to say today, youngins, we're not much different from John Baptist. Praise God. We are in the same aspect of prophet and Lord, magnifying Lord, praise God, and a ministry, if you will, of proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as John had that privilege, you and I have that privilege as well. Isn't that something to think that such a worm as I, God would want to use to magnify and lift up the precious Lamb of God? You say, preacher, what's the importance of that? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's our responsibility, youngins, to lift up the name of Jesus. It's our responsibility to take a ministry, part of the ministry, praise God, and proclaim the Messiah, the Lamb of God, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, it's our responsibility. Not only did he have prepare a nation to receive a Messiah, praise God, but he was the one that would present the Messiah to that nation.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, John was baptizing. Praise God, and Jesus come into him to be baptized to him. Praise God, but John looked down the road and he saw him coming. Praise God, and he recognized him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Ain't you glad that there was somebody come to El Glory? Somebody come down the road. Praise God, not just somebody, not just anybody, but praise God, it was the precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah God, the promised one, the anointed one, the great shepherd, praise God of our soul. He would come looking, seeking whom to save those that was lost. Praise God, so that we might be saved, praise God, from the sinfulness of this world, from the hard nature of this world, from the trials and tribulation and the suffering that's all around us, that he might save us out of that. And you say, Pastor Jeff, why, it's not really working because we're still going through that. Yeah, but we've got a hope of another day. Amen. As John was preaching that baptism of repentance, amen, and a remission of sins, he was pointing, getting those things, praise God, cleared out of our lives so that the Lord Jesus Christ could come in, so he could clean us up and make us for, and prepare us for a place that he's going to prepare for us. Amen.
Amen.
Think about it. Oh, dirty, vile, wicked people like we are.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, that's just not nice. You ought to talk about us like I'm talking about me. Amen.
Amen.
God, you know how you are. I'm talking about me. But praise God, Jesus come to where I was, loved me anyway, and saved me by his marvelous grace. Came into my heart, praise God, to change me from the inside out. Praise God, I fell on my face. I asked him, forgive me. That's that repentance. I knew I was a sorry sinner, and I needed to be saved. I needed somebody to forgive my sins. Somebody to cleanse up my inside, praise God, and make me receptive to the sweet Spirit of God that would move into me and begin to minister to my soul. Amen. Listen, one of these days, this old dust is going to go back to the earth from which it come.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 12:7. It's going to go back to the dust from which it come, but that Spirit that God give us is going to go back to Him. Amen. We're going to drop this old body of clay, this temple we walk in, worship in, praise in, and we're going to go be with the Lord where He is. Amen. To that place that He prepared for us. So we see John's ministry, praise God, he's preparing the way of the Lord, making his path straight, making a way for God Almighty to get in, making a way for God to help us this morning. You realize this morning God wants to help you this morning a whole lot more than you want that help.
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, it's a long time I didn't even realize I needed help.
Amen.
But praise God, one day, one night, one evening, the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart, showed me that I was an old sinner, praise God, lost and undone without God, on my way to an awful place called hell, amen, where the fire is not quenched, praise God, and the worm dieth not. But God spoke to my heart. He said, that's not for you. He said, I've got something better for you. He said, I've got a place of joy. He said, I've got a place of happiness. He said, I've got a place of peace, praise God, that's prepared for you. He said, if you'll prepare for that place. One day we'll read you, glory, hallelujah. We'll be reunited over there. And we'll have us a time together. Praise God, down through the ages. Praise the Lord, we'll put all the heartache and sorrow behind us. And we'll just rejoice for about 1,000 years. Praise God, rejoicing in the Lord. And we'll just be started. Amen. Tell you, I don't know about you, boy, that thrills my soul. You sit here looking at me like a sheep looking at a new gate. Praise God, if you've got that blessed hope, amen, you've got the same joy I have. Hey, joy unspeakable down in my soul, because I know that my Redeemer liveth. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. John had the awesome responsibility, the privilege of the ministry of Lord Jesus Christ and his preaching. Now just look at John's preaching. John preached it straight. Amen. Praise God. He told the people to repent. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you preach repentance and boy, people sew up on you. They'll balk on you. They'll get mad at you. So, preacher, you just don't know nothing about me. How can you tell me? The Bible says we've all, listen to me, read my lips. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all mess up. We all do things contrary to the righteousness of God. And Paul and John come preaching, praise God, preaching, praise God, to people, telling the people to repent. Amen. To repent of their wickedness, praise God. A baptism, it was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, the putting away those sins. Amen. That's how you get rid of sins. Hello? We're living day and hour, praise God. People don't want to preach on repentance no more. We just want to press on, do what we do, and just hope everything will be okay. I want to just tell you, something today. It's not a secret. Every day, I ask God to forgive me. Amen? Every day, I repent. Every day I say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did today. The things, the thoughts that run through my mind, praise God. Hey, I pushed them on through. I didn't entertain them, but I could have. But thanks be to God, Lord. Thank you, praise God. Thank you for touching my life. Thank you for keeping me from saying the things that my own flesh wanted to say. Sometimes they still sneak out on you. But praise God, there's a God of heaven that's there. He said if we'll ask Him, He'll forgive us our sins, cleanse us from our unrighteousness, praise God, and help us do better next time. Amen. I think what's wrong with the churches today, that praise God, we're not seeking to do better to bring glory to His name. Every one of us ought to be desiring to do a little better today than we did yesterday.
Amen.
Amen. And we can with the help of the Lord, praise God, when we come with a repentant heart. Praise God. So he gives a preaching of repentance. He told the people to repent. And then he gives them instructions, praise God, to the converts. Amen. To put their faith into practice. Look at verse number 10. He said, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? Well, that's a good question to ask, isn't it? Remember on the road to Damascus, Paul was walking around, had letters of persecution in his hand, done signed by the Sanhedrin. He was going to go up and he was going to persecute the church. He was going to persecute Christians. He was going to persecute anybody that stood for Jesus. He was going to persecute them, bind them up, put them in chains, and bring them back to be judged. But something happened on the road to Damascus, though Saul of Tarsus. There's a great light shined in the sky, praise God, and he fell off the horse, fell to his knees. Amen. Realized, praise God, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that he was persecuting. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. That's one of the greatest statements that you or I could ever make. It's when we just bow before our thrice holy God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. Where'd you have me be? How'd you have me to act? How'd you have me to react? How would you have me, praise God, to edify and encourage and uplift? Give me encouragement. Take away the discouragement. What would you have me to do to make people's lives better? Amen. Have you ever thought about that? Amen. I'm talking about a word accepted. When we accept the Word of God, it changes things. It changes who we are, how we act, and how we react. Amen. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Praise God. Everybody ought to be shouting and saying, praise God. Amen. Praise God. But he begins to give them advice. They said, what shall we do? Amen. Praise God. And he, see, there was something took place here. They must have been a change of mind. Because most of these people probably just like you and I. They was trucking on down the road just doing what felt good. I mean, doing what they thought what they wanted to do. But they come to a place and say, okay, Lord, what would you have us to do? What do we need to do? And listen to what John tells them. He answered, said to them, verse number 11, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. That he hath, that, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Amen. He said, if you've got extras, praise God, share it with somebody. In other words, what he said, hey, just quit being so selfish. Quit being so self-centered, praise God, and be willing to offer up to those that don't have and give them something, praise God, they can have. Amen. Amen. Now, he's going somewhere to a great bigger, a whole lot bigger picture with this and that he's trying to get people to a mindset, just doing a little bit, praise God, at a time, and it begins to make a difference in people's lives. Praise God. He said, just practice. He's saying, since it then came also to publicans, verse number 12, to be baptized, he said, Master, what shall we do? Publicans, tax collectors. And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Amen? He said, this is the appointed tax that you're supposed to be charging people. And you know that. He said, don't charge more than you should. Boy, we ought to get a hold of our government with that, shouldn't we? Amen? Don't charge more than you should. Praise God. Hey, it's okay to pay your fair share. I don't think we ought to pay everybody else's share too. But he said, listen, he said, just don't take up more than what you should. More than what's appointed. More than what's specified per person. He said, and then the soldiers, verse 15, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely. Amen. He said, listen, he said, don't be violent. Be more compassionate. Amen. To everybody. Don't be violent in what you do. And don't accuse people falsely. Well, that's an easy thing to do, ain't it? Accuse people falsely. You know, just throw something out there. It's okay. It don't matter. It don't matter how much it hurts people. It don't matter how much what it does to people's lives. False accusations. Amen. It tears people apart. He said, "Don't be being violent. Don't be putting out false accusations." And then he says this, and he said, "Be content with your wages." Amen. He said, "Hey, he said, you took the job, and this is what they said they'd pay you. He said, be content with your pay." Amen. Praise God. Give God the glory. Pay your tithe and God will bless it and you'll have plenty. Amen. Amen. Come on. Stay with me. Praise God. That's the way God designed it to be. Praise the Lord. And he said, just be content with your wages. What God is giving you. So we see Paul, praise God. He said, hey, let's just put this into practice so you know what to do. And then look at verse number 8. And in verse number 8, he said, you need to be afraid. He said, he began to be a fruit inspector. Amen. This old prophet, he said, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. John was inspecting fruit. Amen. You say, well, preacher, yeah, you know, we're not supposed to judge people. Amen. We're not supposed to judge people, but we are required to be fruit inspectors. Amen. Now, the first fruit that we should inspect is whose? Ours. We ought to inspect our fruit to see if our fruit is good. Amen? If our fruit is good, hey, if our fruit isn't no good, we shouldn't have try to help somebody else with ours if ours is no count. Amen? But if we get our fruit produced where it's good fruit, then we can help others, pray God, that their fruit will be good too. And the fruit that's good is the fruit that's pleasing to God. Amen? Hey, listen, young people, you don't have to be pleasing to this world. Amen? You don't have to be pleasing. You don't have to go along to get along. Amen? But we need to be pleasing to God. We need to search the Scripture. We need to be Bereans. We need to search the Scripture to find out truth, praise God, so we can be righteous in our living and please God. That's what Paul was, John was telling them here. I got Paul in my brain. That's what John was telling them here, praise God. He was a fruit inspector. A lot of people don't like fruit inspectors. But praise God, when we inspect our own fruit, it changes who we are. Praise God. He said, fruit's worthy of repentance and begin not to say with yourself. We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Amen. He said, we need genuine repentance. We're not, hey, listen, you can't run on grandma and papa's faith. Hello? You can't run on mama and daddy's faith, what they believe. We have to know where we believe and stand upon it ourselves, that our fruit will be good fruit and bring glory to God. So he was examining the fruit. Amen. Ain't no wonder people got kind of tore up over John's preaching. Amen. He was getting to the very root of sin. Look at verse number 9. He said, literally, he said, now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewed down, cast into the fire. He was getting right to the very root of sin, praise God. He said, hey, listen, if it's not in account, he said, praise God, it's got to be cut down and burnt and got out of here. Amen. We got to get rid of sin out of our life, praise God. Those things that so easy beset us, praise God, cause us to go in the wrong direction. He said, we got to get rid of them. Amen. A word accepted. I wonder if the world would accept it today. Get into the very root of sin. Boy, people get mad. They puff up. They pout. They go home. They quit church. I have to ask the question, what did God do to you? He's just telling you the truth, praise God. You don't like it? Well, you know what the cure is? Just get right with God. Do those things that's pleasing to Him. It'll work out. Amen. Because then he goes on, verse number 7, he warns them of the wrath to come. He then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. He said, there's wrath coming. The wrath of God's going to be poured out on the ungodliness of this world. God hates sin. God loves me and you. That's why Jesus, he sent his only begotten Son that he'd come to this world, that he'd live and love and die for our sins. Jesus died for your sinfulness on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for you and I on the cross of Calvary that through him we might be saved. Amen. When we put our faith and trust in him. But he said, who's warned you, praise God, of the wrath to come? A generation of vipers, backbiters, backstabbers, praise God, the worldliness that you have. Said, who in the world? He said, you're God rejecters and God deniers. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The wrath of God's coming. Praise God. And we better be asking God to help us. He goes on. John says in verse 17, he said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Amen? Amen. He said, listen, so there's a wrath coming. The wrath of God's coming. We better be ready. We better accept Lord Jesus Christ. We better live for God. We better get right with God. He said, or that wrath will be poured out on us. Amen. Those unbelievers, those that refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Praise God. But the question is, would you accept the Word? The Word is here. The Word is spoken. The Word is given to us. But would you expect it? Amen. In other words, would you accept this kind of ministry that was being taught and preached to you? Well, preacher, I don't really like it. You know, I don't like you preaching on sin and repentance and being fruitful and all that stuff. I believe you get in and everything's going to be okay. I don't think we need to address all this stuff. That's what the world says today. That's why people's not being saved. They don't believe God Almighty. They don't believe the Word of God is true. Amen. But John said, this is the way that you get in. This is the way, the Word of, praise God, that's accepted. The Word of God that's accepted is the way that you get saved and born again, birthed into the family of God, and you shout it out all the way to the house. Amen. The true and living way. So we have the prophecy, we have the ministry, and then we have the mystery. Amen? The mystery of what he's trying to instruct them into. And we see that in the baptism of Jesus Christ. In verse 25, it said, now when all the people were baptized, amen, all the people believed, all the people that believed what John was preaching, said it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Amen? So we see that the people come, they were baptized, they was getting in, they was believing God. Amen? The Word was being accepted. The Word of truth, the Word that they had predicted, the prophecies had said would come through the ministry, praise God, of the prophet. That people were believing it and they were getting in, they was receiving it, they was getting saved, born again, baptized. Amen. And Jesus comes and he's baptized. And he's praying, and as he's baptized, and he comes up out of the water. The Bible says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape. Amen. The Holy Ghost comes from heaven. That's the third person of the Trinity, by the way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three in one and one in three. Said, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Jesus came to die for the sins of this world, that through him men might be saved. The Word accepted, praise God, was accepting the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the mystery, we see the Son of God, that he is baptized. And as he's baptized, he comes up out of the water, that the Spirit lights on him like a dove. And the Father speaks his approval from heaven. Amen. Salvation. Salvation is brought about by the Trinity. By God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit speaking to people like me and you. Praise God, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. That trust the Father, praise God, who sent him to die for our sins. It's through them, praise God, and that only that we can be saved. Amen. A word accepted, a word believed. Do we believe it today? Do we believe unto salvation? The salvation of our souls, your soul and my soul. Every soul is individual. Amen. Amen. You can't lump them up or group them up. Each soul is individual. Your soul is important to God. That's why he came to seek and to save those that were lost. Those lost souls. Amen. And John was preaching. He said, get ready, praise God. Repent. Get ready, pray for the remission of sin. And get ready, praise God, because the Messiah's coming. You got to be ready. Got to be expecting him till he comes. Praise God. All of Trinity was involved, praise the Lord, in your salvation. Without it, praise God, we wouldn't be saved. It takes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit moving in hearts, moving in your life. I realized I was a young man. I realized I was no sinner. I knew I was for a long time. Amen. I just didn't figure out what I need to do about it. I figured I'd just die and go to hell, lost out God. The fire and the smoke and the brimstone, I could already see it. It scared me to death. I didn't want to go to hell. Hey, hell wasn't designed for me and you. Hell was designed for Satan and the demons of hell, those that rejected God, those that were cast out of heaven. Amen. That's who hell was designed for. Hell wasn't designed for you and me. If we go there, we'll go there as trespassers and it kills me to make people today, young people say, yeah, we're going to go to hell. Well, we're going to have a party. You go to hell, you'll be hated and despised. Amen. You'll go as an intruder, an invader. Amen. They won't be no party. They won't having a time there. They won't be no rejoicing in hell. But boy, there'll be a party in heaven. Amen. One day there'll be a party in heaven. Praise God. We'll be gathered together with those that we love and care for. Praise God. One day in a little while, we'll outstrip this old body. We'll leave it behind. We'll fly up into the portals of glory. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, we'll take a plane air ride, not an airplane, but a plane air ride. And we'll go be with the ones that's gone on before. Mamas and papas, brothers and sisters, mamas and daddies. I pray God, them old saints of God, them old prophets of God, we'll go be with them in heaven. Praise God, to that place that's prepared. And we'll rejoice and we'll have us a time. We'll shout and praise God in that place where there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more weeping. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no more persecution. There'll be no more people to hold us back. There'll be nothing to hold us down. But pray God, there'll be a God of heaven that'll be there to love on us and to lift us up and encourage us and just smile. Hey, glory. Just smile on us real big. And just knowing that smile when He looks upon you, how much He loves you, how much He cares for you. Without a word, praise God, He can let you know that you're in the right place with the right people. Praise God, at the right time to rejoice in the things Almighty God has promised to you down through the ages. That's that blessed hope. Amen. Blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. A word accepted. The word accepted. It brings us in that place, that portal of glory that God's promised to each one of us. John Baptist had a purpose in his heart. Amen. To preach the gospel and to point people to Jesus. Amen. If you read on in the book, it cost him his life. Amen. It cost him his life on this side because of some events that took place. John was imprisoned. Amen. Because he preached about Herod's affair with his brother's wife, Herodias. Amen. And she connived around and through wickedness and vileness and requested to have John beheaded. And had his head brought to her on a charger, on a platter. Amen. That's what the devil would like to do today. He'd like to have our head brought to him on a platter. He don't care nothing about you. Amen. He hates your guts. Hey, all he wants to do is destroy you so that you can't be saved and bring glory to God. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's one called Jesus, praise the Lord. The same one that John Baptist was preaching about. The same one that John gave his life for. Praise God. The same one that lifted him up. The body said those disciples, when they found out John had been beheaded, of course his head was gone. They'd put it on a charger and they'd brought it and presented it to Herodias' daughter, brought it and presented it to Herodias, that wicked, wicked devil woman. Amen. I said the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they went down there to the prison house and they begged John's body. They got his body and they took his body out, his headless body. They took it and buried it. Amen. Praise God. They took it out and buried it. Amen. So with the hope of the resurrection. Amen. The same thing that John was preaching, the same thing John believed. He said, there's a better day a-coming. Amen. Amen. He lost his head for his faith. But praise God, he ended up in glory with his Savior when it was all said and done. The mystery, praise God, was fulfilled. And John was preaching about the mystery of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost that would bring salvation to all men, to me and you. And you and me, the same way that I get in is the same way that you get in. Amen. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.